Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, college students, millennials, growing families, and others to have the chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. Last week, I discussed things to consider before you purchase a second home. One of the things I discussed had to do with how you would own that home with others. This week, I'll cover seven things to consider when you own a business with family. I'll be starting out with the emotional issues that sometimes cloud our good judgment, sometimes causing us to sacrifice our business acumen and good business practices for our emotional desire to fit in and get along with family. After that, I'll review some basics that you need to remember to learn about your family business in order to make good business decisions as an owner. One, emotional entanglements. Does anyone really grow beyond the person they were in high school? For many people, especially in small towns or even in big cities that have a small bubble area of their own, high school was the highlight of their life, emotionally, physically, and intellectually. Sure, many people go to college, grad school, and beyond, but especially if they return home to the bubble, they may not ever be forced to mature beyond high school. Nothing wrong with that, but there are other people who experience life and its pain, setbacks, divorces, reversals, alienations, and success on their own terms, who grow beyond high school and recognize that others may as well. You may be asking why this matters. How many times have you gone home to see your parents and you notice that they treat you like, well, like you're in high school? Maybe they foolishly want you home by a certain time, or they think they can plan your weekend for you, even though you're home for a reunion with friends or they're on business. Many people get stuck in the time warp of their last long encounter with you, and they still may treat you and react to you as if you're living in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or just 10 years ago. If you inherit a family business or asset where you will be interacting with people who are older than you or who were high school kids together, be prepared for a lot of irrational behavior and a lot of high school-style one-upmanship. There will be a certain percentage of people in a family who have their own clique, either because they all belong to the same club, literally like the country club, or they like to do the same things, like play golf, or because they spent a lot of time together as kids. These family cliques can dominate a family business because of the camaraderie involved and not because any one of the individuals in that clique is particularly knowledgeable about that type of business. Some family members might have been jocks and learned to bully. Others might have been geeks and decided to make money to make up for their insecurities when they were young. Others may have never heard the word no and don't believe it applies to them. You may also experience the phenomena that everyone listens to the guy in the room with the most money, again assuming that he's smarter because he has more money. He could have more money because he takes advantage of people with whom he does business, making him even more money than he had before, thinking it's a game, just like football or basketball, where dirty play can help you get ahead. They may be a very charming bully or con man. Don't assume that someone who has a lot of money should be listened to with more credence than anyone else in the room. Individual emotional growth is something that is not bestowed upon you or anyone else via a college degree, master's, or PhD program. There is not a 12-month certification program that can make you more mature. Life and what happens to you and how you take on those challenges and how spoiled or protected you are have added or subtracted from your emotional maturity. Would you be willing to give up all your money so you could be with your kids? Would you be willing to give up your kids and wife to make lots of money, or your husband to make lots of money? I've often felt that the perfect resume is a lie, and the people who've experienced failure, and yet were able to dust themselves off and pick themselves up are the real success story in this country. Also, beware that Uncle Brutus may want to lord it over you, even though you now have a college education, 3 children, and a professional career of your own. Be conscious of a superior-inferior behavior pattern that you might see come out of your favorite aunt, who thinks just because she's older, she's smarter than you, and your ideas don't count. Also, be wary when everyone turns to one family member and treats them like the scapegoat or the black sheep, because often the ugly duckling frequently turns out to be the swan that saves the family from its own stupidity. Check out the Bible story of the prodigal son and the talents. This kind of thing has been around for a long, long time. 2, the legendary family tree. Sometimes I would like to have the chance to meet the so-called perfect child. And then on the other hand, I really don't want to do so because their perfection would in reality be their flaw. So now that I've established that no one is perfect, this leads me to the legendary family tree. Is there the brilliant businessman who lives paycheck to paycheck and is leveraged to the hilt? Is there the volunteer extraordinaire who's president of everything because she is such a bully that she wears everyone down because she always gets what she wants? Is there the scholar who knows everything but in reality knows nothing about what he's a certified expert at and he is foolish enough to make pronouncements about things he knows nothing about? Is there the black sheep of the family who still has that rep and yet somehow lives within his means and makes decisions after informing himself of the legal and tax consequences of his actions? Is there the quiet man who works so hard that he's climbing the ladder of success slowly, carefully, and gracefully, but doesn't brag about it? Is there the con man extraordinaire who's thought to be a benevolent uncle, yet has used his insider knowledge to make a fortune in the stock market? Is there the druggie who used to be, who through hard work and effort to beat her addiction, now helps others with the same problems? Who is willing to put themselves out there for the benefit of all the others? Listen carefully to what someone is saying and see if their actions follow along the same line too. Who is harping on making changes that are technically illegal but insist on sliding them into the rules because no one has the courage to question them because, well, that person is so perfect? 3, assumptions. Making an ass out of you and me. I love that phrase. When I assume, it makes an ass out of you and me. Remember the legendary family tree that I just mentioned? Well, this is where assuming people are the same as they were a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or even 20 years ago will make an ass out of you and them. If all you did was focus on making money in your life at all costs, then that would be what you would have. If having a family is important to you, then you will sacrifice your personal desires for creating a healthy family culture. If you focused on getting your own way all the time, then you would get your own way, but probably not very many real friends. If you focused on loving others, then you would have love in your life, even if it is only one person. If you find you will be in business with family members, then take the chance of finding out their thoughts on the topic at hand. Don't assume that you know better, that you're smarter, that you're superior in your judgment or your decision-making. Find out what their intentions are if you can get them to be candid with you. Remember, many hands make light the work. The more people trying to help solve a problem, the chances are there will be an opportunity to arrive at the right and correct and legal answer. Before you keep running things the way it's always done, take the time and the money to hire a very good facilitator. I know a woman named Mary Flanagan of Strategy and LLC and Leadership LLC. She can help assist your family in looking at the options, ideas, thoughts, and concerns that everyone can contribute, and she can help keep the peace while it's all happening. Also, ask yourself if you want the family to unite together or if you want it to splinter apart. Don't assume. Ask. If you don't care what others think because you think you know it all, then think again. Life is not the History Channel. Life is the present and the future. So open up your mind to the possibility that not everyone is who were in high school, not everyone is who they were in the legendary family tree, and that there are hopefully a lot of good minds, hearts, and ideas you may need and not want to miss out on if you would only not assume. Not everyone wants the same things out of life. Not everyone's values are the same. Some people want transparency, open management, sharing of information, and the synergy of good ideas. Other people may want only a small clique to control the family business, excluding others they have deemed unfit for either historical reasons or their own belief in their superiority. These people will argue that all the changes they make are about, quote, holding on to the family business and keeping it for the next generation. The next generation may not want to own that business for financial reasons, lack of interest, or change in direction in industry overall as a whole. 4, read the rule book. During my career in IndyCar racing, one of the things I learned was to read the rule book. We were at Phoenix. Our car number had been taken away from us and given to another team. Our points toward the championship had gone too, all because the powers that be needed another entry in the field and because they weren't choosing to abide by their own rules regarding their entry forms being true and correct. I'll admit I was frustrated and felt our team was being treated unfairly, and I wanted to protest that treatment and petition to get our number back. So I got a copy of the rule book, read it quickly, typed a protest on an IBM Selectric in the press room, and then stalked the chief steward during qualifying in order to serve him with the protest in the time required, which was within 30 minutes of the end of the qualification process. That was when I realized that reading the rule book was everything. The rule book can be the manual that dictates what engines and chassis are eligible to compete in the Indy 500. It can be the motor vehicle driving rules as dictated by your state. It can be the bylaws of your company or organization. It can be the building code for the community you live in. It can be the municipal laws that apply to your city. It can be Robert's Rules of Orders. It can be the rule book of fair play in whatever organization you're operating within. So if you're inheriting an interest in a family partnership, family LLC, C-Corp, or S-Corp, you may want to get a copy of the Articles of Incorporation or the original partnership agreement or the current partnership or LLC agreement, copies of any past bylaws and current ones as well, and you will want to learn about how these entities work before you decide to agree to everything that anyone wants you to agree to in order to go along to get along with everyone else in your family. You may want to consult an attorney who can explain to you how the company is structured and what that means to you. Will there be unexpected requests for cash, often called cash calls or capital contributions? Will you have a chance to approve the budget and therefore understand and hopefully approve of how these cash calls and capital contributions are spent? If you're the owner of a C corporation, will you have the same requirements and rights as if you're an owner in an LLC, S corp, or a partnership? Even though it may cost a bit of money to consult with an expert, it could save you and your family money to truly understand how it is supposed to work and how to operate the company within the law. A company that has been in business for many years should be filing annual tax returns, and depending on how it's organized, may be providing K-1s to its partners or owners. A C corporation may have two or more classes of stock, some receiving dividends, some not, some voting, some not. As a shareholder in any of these companies, you're permitted by statute to request copies of these financial documents and take a look at the record books of the company simply because you're a shareholder. Owners in LLCs, S-Corps, and partnerships have similar rights under the statute. Sharing this information with an accountant will help them help you with any tax planning or understanding the tax consequences of any profits or losses that your family's business might have for you. Your accountant can help you understand the differences in the tax aspects of these different organizations of business. Owners of C corporations do not get the benefit of losses being passed on to them. Profits are only passed to them if dividends are declared to be paid from funds left over after creditors and preference share dividends are paid. If you own a partnership or LLC, then those profits and losses may flow to you since you're an owner in these entities. Consulting professionals such as certified public accountants, known as CPAs, who specialize in the industry that the business is competing in, can be helpful in providing you an idea of how your company stacks up against others financially compared to others of a similar size and similar industry. You may learn more about how it is managed and how sound it is financially, and what you may want to watch out for when you receive monthly financial statements with a knowledgeable accountant. Consulting with attorneys who may be board certified specialists in an area of law that is new to you regarding corporate law or the area of law that governs the industry you're in may be helpful to you as you work to understand how income, expenses, profits, and losses flow through the business to the owners, if they do at all. Remember to read and understand anything you are asked to sign. 5, assets and liabilities. One of the things you need to know about any business you inherit is what does it own and what does it owe? And of course, what are the prospects for the future? So find out about what the assets are. Is there intellectual property, inventory, human capital, storefronts, real estate? What really belongs to the company? What is really essential to the company? Annual balance sheet statements should provide you that information. And what matters to the company's success? If the business is one based on the relationships developed by the sales staff, then keeping that staff is important, and keeping them properly trained is important. Then find out what the liabilities are. What does the company owe and when? Are there short-term loans, lines of credit, long-term debt? Is any of it secured by inventory, equipment, real property? These are all appropriate questions for you to ask if you want to be an informed owner or investor. 6, profits and losses. Is the company making any money or is it losing money? Is it in a growing industry or one that has very little growth potential for present and future generations? If it owns real estate, is it in an up-and-coming area or does it include property that provides income from leased space? If the company has been losing money over the years under the same management or same board, then it may be worth looking into why there are losses. Is there too much debt, not enough income, too many frills, too many board junkets, outmoded business practices? Figure out what's going on. Learn about it. 7, reorganization and how to do it. A business that was successful 20 years ago may not be successful now, and 20 years from now, it may not be an attractive business to be in at all. To assume that a business or an asset that belongs to a family needs to be kept as is for future generations is making a big assumption that everyone wants it to be that way. When due to the death of members of a previous generation, there is a change in the leadership of a company or an organization, it is best to allow the newest owners to express their dreams, their desires, and their concerns about the company they are inheriting. It's also important, if there are enough new owners, to educate them about the company too. So, bring in a facilitator and an attorney who's a specialist and an accountant who understands the tax consequences of the business structure and the business, and have an informational seminar and meeting. Let the attorney go first, explaining the company structure and what it means to the shareholders as far as what will be expected of them. Will there be cash calls? Will they share in the profits directly? Will losses and deductions pass on to them? Or will dividends need to be declared and paid? If after learning what this legal expert can share, if there is a desire to change the company structure, then ask this expert to explain the legal process for making this change. At this point, the tax accountant might step in to discuss the current tax situation, go over the financial statements, and make any comments about how the business is faring compared to comparable companies, if appropriate. If a change in structure is being investigated, then the tax accountant can explain how that might affect the distribution of profits and losses, and how if the company or its assets are sold, how the capital gains would be treated. Once all the legal and financial information is shared and owners can ponder the possibilities, it is time to bring in the facilitator to get the group to open up about their wants, needs, goals, and concerns for the present and future of the company and its effect on current and future generations. If there is a change in structure that is desired by a majority of the group, then make sure it is done properly and in accordance with the law. For example, dressing up a C corporation in an LLC wrapper without following the IRS rules for converting from one type of ownership structure to another can lead to tax penalties, tax audits, fines, and a host of all kinds of problems for all of the owners. Remember, you cannot choose your family, so when you're dealing with family and business, you need to remember that business with family is business. All boats will rise or fall with the tide. People who start out with more money can last longer in the game and sometimes like to write the rules so that the last man standing wins it all. Be careful that you don't give away the farm because you used your heart and not your mind, and you forgot that a family business is still business. Next month, I'll be going over health insurance, ways you can save for the holidays, how to protect yourself while you're shopping, and how to get ready for year-end with some new year-end savings and tax strategies that you need to know. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. That's B-A-R-B-I-E at moneysmartsforyou.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.